I want to ask you, in what setting is our salvation worked out? Is the work of being saved carried out? Is it the church? Well, certainly we would say, in one sense, absolutely. For we remember the words of the church father, I believe it was St. Cyprian, who said, there is no salvation outside of the church. And of course, we know that the holy mysteries, the sacraments of the church, are a principal means of that salvation. But I want us to consider from our readings this morning that salvation, the core setting for working out our salvation, is in our struggle. And the struggle that takes place not in the exterior circumstances of life. Yes, they may form a context for that, whether it be tribulations or trials that we may face at home or with family or at work and other relationships, financial strains, and so forth. But the real battleground, the real setting for the work, for the struggle, is in the inner man. Our salvation is really this interior struggle that is being carried out. This is the battlefield where light and darkness both dwell. This is the battlefield where good and evil are locked in battle. But it is the place where the fullness of God, for those of us who believe, dwell. Now, we don't like to think about struggle. But wouldn't it be great if being saved was nothing more than answering an altar call, going to the altar, confessing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, saying a sinner's prayer, receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior, and we are saved? It would be great if it were that easy. But that's only the beginning. That's only the beginning. It would be like me signing up and registering for a marathon race and getting that sticker that says 26.2 and slapping it on the back of my car just because I paid the entry fee and signed up to enter the race. But we only can display that 26.2 if we've actually finished the race, the 26.2 miles. And I see them all 13.1, and I really have to wonder, do people really do that? I love the one that said 0.00. And I thought that also we could market one that said 0.001, the distance from my couch to the kitchen and back. But the point is that it is in the struggle. It is in the running of the race, the completion of the race. It is that battleground of the interior, the inner man. For remember, Jesus said it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but it's what comes out of the mouth, both blessing and cursing. He's saying that in our brokenness, it is the interior man, the heart, our very being, our central being, our soul, from which proceeds both blessing and curses. That is, there is both light and darkness there. We all can understand this on a daily basis. It's really the inner man where temptations pop in, where we're doing battle against temptations. It's the inner man from which those disordered passions which war against the soul reside and dwell, whether that be uncontrollable anger or lust or gluttony or any other number of passions that we wrestle with on a daily basis. But at the key, at the heart of this struggle is really two virtues that become pinnacle and become key to our running the race, our struggle in the inner man, with the inner man. And it is the virtues of love and humility. Love and humility, which is resident in and part of the essence of God himself, Christ himself. For if we think about it, it was Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, who was enthroned in eternity past at the right hand of the Father, and who, in the will of the Father, condescended. It was the ultimate humiliation. He condescended. He gave up his throne in heaven to become man, to become one of us, to live a life of struggles and trials, and finally to face his horrible passion and death and burial, knowing he was coming here for that purpose, to save humanity. Humility, but at the essence of God himself is love. For scriptures tell us that God is love. Jesus, in the gospel lesson this morning, is really confronting this whole aspect of what appears to be pious faith, pious religion, and what is really at the heart of what's underneath. He was invited, St. Luke tells us in the 14th chapter, he was invited on the Sabbath to come and eat at the house of a Pharisee. Now you know that this was a setup. This Pharisee had invited some of his other religious leaders and doctors to the house, and there they probably planted this man who had dropsy. Dropsy is really kind of an archaic term for a person who is afflicted with edema, with swelling, probably great swelling in his legs and maybe even the rest of his body. And it's kind of a mystery as to what was the cause of the dropsy, the edema. We could probably speculate that it may have been congestive heart failure, but perhaps it was as a result of malnourishment. There's a number of reasons that a person can have edema. But edema can be a life-threatening thing. It can cause one to literally drown in your own fluids. It can be painful. And there there was a setup. They invited the Lord to come and eat on the Sabbath, and there they had this man with the dropsy. And Jesus turned the tables on him by asking him, is it lawful? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But it says they kept their peace. They remained silent because they knew that if they were to answer in the negative, they knew that in a sense they would be violating the first rule of faith, that is the rule of love, because God is love. And yet they did not want to be those who would be accused of breaking the Sabbath laws. And so they held their peace. And Jesus, it said in verse 4, and he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, which of you, having a donkey or an ox that had fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on a Sabbath day? And once again, they could not answer him, because they knew if they were absolutely honest, they would say, of course we would pull him out. Here were these men, these doctors, these doctors of the law, these learned men who had devoted their whole life to the Torah, to the law of Moses, and who lived externally, tithing, Jesus said, everything down to their mint and cumin, everything in their herb garden. They followed the law that strictly. And yet they missed the weightier matter of the law. Because in the law of God is the law of love. And we access that through a humbled life, a life of humility, a life of yielding our pride, our own ego, to the Lordship. of God in Jesus Christ. And so he began to call them out on their pride. And he told them this parable, and he said, when you're invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down at the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, and go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. It is in a humbled heart. It is in the heart of him who coming, being invited to a concert, is not looking to sit on the front row or have a backstage pass, but is content to just sit up in the balcony somewhere, putting it in a modern context. We see the genuineness of faith really being manifest in a truly humbled heart. I think of our own bishop, Bishop John, and I know that he might be a bit embarrassed for me to say this, but he's perhaps one of the most humble people I know, and I've seen bishops who like all of the glory, the attention. But Bishop John is a man that when picking him up from the airport, for instance, refuses for me to take his suitcase. He wants to take care of that. Bishop John is a shepherd, a true shepherd, our shepherd. And we're blessed to have a man who seeks not the limelight, who seeks not to be served, but to serve. This is an imitation of Christ. The rule of love and humility is a rule that is carried out within the inner man. Not like the Pharisees, who were like whitewashed tombs, Jesus said, but in the inner man they were full of rottenness and decay. For after all, there at that dinner, these were men who sat there in judgment. They watched him and sat in judgment of the God of the universe. How many times have we done a similar thing in judgment of our own brothers and sisters? But St. Paul, and our epistle lesson this morning from his epistle to the Ephesians, the third chapter, beginning in verse 13, he says, therefore I ask you, do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. It is the glory, Paul saying, in the church is coming about through tribulations, his tribulations. But he says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is showing an attitude, a posture of humility, of worship. And he goes on, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. To know with all the saints. Can you imagine? To be able to know with all the saints, what is the height and width and depth? The glory of God. To be filled with the fullness of God. This is essentially the goal of our salvation. To be so filled with the Holy Spirit, the glory of God, that we, by grace, have become divine, divinized, theosis, to be like Christ, to share in his glory. The struggle for the inner man is a struggle that we must carry out every day. This is the battleground. This is the true place of our salvation. And many of us may look to those who abide in monasteries, monks and virgins, and say they are the example. But you know, the church fathers tell us that you could give yourself to a life of monasticism and just live your faith at an external level and never have any more success over the struggle of the interior man than the day you first came to the monastery. You see, whether we are monastics or secular people like you and me, the goal of Orthodox spirituality, the rule of faith, is the same. To live our life completely yielded in humility before God and before our fellow man, that we may be filled with the love of Christ in the inner man, such that we may be filled with the glory of God. This is our path to salvation. There are many examples in the saints. In closing today, I wanted to share the story of the saint that we are commemorating this day on October the 6th. It was a young virgin woman who lived in the southwestern part of France in what was known as the area of Aquitaine or Asian, on the border of Spain and near the Pyrenees Mountains. And in her youth, she had devoted herself. She had become united, if you will, in holy matrimony to Christ, her bride, and had become a virgin for Christ. But during the persecution by the Emperor Diocletian, she was told to sacrifice to the Roman pagan gods, to sacrifice to Caesar, to renounce her faith in Christ. And she would not. And she was threatened with torture. She would not relent. And so the Roman soldiers prepared for her a large grill, if you will, with coals underneath of it. And she was laid down upon that hot grill, where she suffered a horrible, horrible death. But in that, she never relented. She maintained her humility, her love of God, her love even of her executioners, and took the crown of martyrdom. And her life, like the life of many other saints, is one in which we look to. Saint Faith, also known as Saint Foy, or in the Spanish faith, or Spanish language, Santa Fe, from which we get the name of the city in New Mexico, Santa Fe, New Mexico. Saint Faith continues to be commemorated, even if we didn't know her story or her name. Let us look to her through the prayers of Saint Faith and of all the saints in bringing us and leading us to a life that is ruled by humility, by the rule of divine love, the love of Christ. And there, in the battlefield of the inner man, our struggle will be no more, as we are filled with the glory of God in Christ. Let us give thanks for that glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.